Ay, 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 ay. Chaver, it's always an incredible schuss to be together. To be together, prepare for Shabbos Kodesh. To be together to learn Torah Hashem. All the learning tonight, is being sponsored by a very special Talmud of mine, and his Eishes Chayil. It's a big schuss. Mamish, someone that he's more than Talmud, he's more like a son, and he knows that. Yitzchak Natan al Abtan, and he's Yeshus Chayil Yat. And all the Torah Tanar al Chizik, all the Zairah should be Lila Nishmas, Yitzchak Natan's grandfather, Moshe ben Nisim, whose Yartzei was about a week ago, it was 1 week ago exactly, as well as his uncle, Mordechai ben Moshe, whose Yartzei was also a few weeks ago recently. It should be a big schus for their neshamas, a big schus. They should be Militia Yoishrim for the beautiful Mishpacha, for Natanel, for Liat, for his whole Mishpacha, until the Zoicha to be dancing together. Mashiach Zakeinu B'mehir B'Yemeinu. Chaver, you know, it's very exciting preparing for this Shabbos. I mean, every Shabbos should be exciting to prepare for. If we really felt and understood Kedusha Shabbos, like we spoke about last week, Shabbos is the holiest day of the year, not just the holiest day of the week. It's so special. It's so incredible. It's so beautiful just to feel Erev Shabbos already. And to know that a few hours away, we're going to be in Shabbos. The same way it should be. The same way we're anticipating 3 weeks from tonight, the Heil Giyantav of Purim, Abol Leinu L'Toyva. We should have that same excitement every week for Shabbos. Okay, it's hard, obviously, because Purim's once a year, and Shabbos is every week. Although, Chaver, you remember the Torah, Purim's really every day, right? Gantz Yer Purim, right? There are 354 days in the Jewish calendar. 18 of those days are Yom Tov D'Oraisa. 18 of those days are Yom Tov D'Oraisa. If you add up the days of Yom Tov on a Torah level, you have 7 days of Sukkot and 7 days of Pesach, it's 14. Shemini Atzeres is 15. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaRichta is 1 day. Yom Kippur is 1 day. And Shavuos is 1 day. On a Torah level, it's 18 days. So what's 354 minus 18? What's 354 minus 18? Oh, see, you just started college. Ariel. Aaron Avram, we have Yidden Baruch Hashem, we have Avira Da'ara, we welcome, it's a schus, we feel the Kedusha of Ariel and Avram, we just came back from Eretz Yisrael. It should be a very short trip back, you're only visiting, so we can tell you're in college that you did good math now, Ariel. 354 minus 18 is 336, so there are 336 days in the year that are not already a Yontav. Purim is Gematria, 336. Because Purim's telling us every other day could be Purimdik. Every other day could be Purimdik. Okay, we'll get there. We'll explain that within the next few weeks, Amir Tashem. But Lamaisa, we have Shabbos Kodesh coming our way. But this Shabbos specifically, why do I say this Shabbos specifically? The Shabbos is another Kabbalah Satayra. It's just to stand by Har Sinai, to hear Hashem, to hear the Aser HaSadibros. We're going to be in Shul and laying Kabbalah Satayra. We have that special Nusach, that special Nigunim. The special trup to show us it's different. We stand up. I know there are halachos as far as should you stand up. You should stand up for the whole aliyah, and you should stand up. Whatever. I'm not going to get into all of that right now. But the bottom line is minhag is to stand up, and it's different. And we should be excited. It's like Shavuos morning this Shabbos. It's like Shavuos morning. And we have to be excited for Kabbalah Torah and be makabel. B'hischachus, a fresh new Kabbalah to reconnect the Torah mitzvahs in a beautiful way. The Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, are yisodos, are foundations for all other mitzvahs, obviously. I mean, every mitzvah is important, but these are foundations. But the Gemara Makos, towards the end of Makos, tells us of the Aseret HaDibros, there are two that are bigger yisoidus. And the way we understand it is this Gemara, I'll read you the Gemara, it's the bottom of Chaf Gimel Mebeis. This is a very beautiful Gemara. It's not just a beautiful Gemara because of the lesson we learned from this Gemara. It also tells us, because at this table we know we're very we very much share and connect to the Torah of Gematria. This is a Gemara that's a Gematria. And that reminds us, some people, I don't mean anyone in this room, but there are people who make leitzanus about Gematria. It's like, cute, funny. Shivim panam Torah. There's a lot of ways to learn Torah, but it's one of the deepest depth of learning Torah. And here we have a Gemara that's teaching us from Gematria. And there are other Gemara. There are many Gemaras that teach us from Gematria. And there are Midrashim that teach us from Gematria. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav, famous Gemara, Amar Rav Avnuna, Maikra Torah Tziva Lanu Mora, Tzor Tziva Lanu Mora, Moshe Marasha Kiels Yaakov. Maybe the first pasuk we've all learned. I don't know how many of us in this room had an upsharon. It's minug by definitely by the Hasidim to have upsharon. I don't know how many of us had an upsharon. Tell you by personally myself. So my father and mother agreed they could have an upsharon. This is how the story goes. And then my mother, at some point, I was like two and a half, chvesnisht, and I just had like a tremendous amount of hair, and she got sick of it, and without telling my father, she went and got me a haircut. That's the truth. They're still married, Bachsha, many years later. So I guess he forgave her. I don't know if I've forgiven her, but my father did. L'maisa, by an upshar, and minog is that you teach the child Torah, Aleph, Mem, Tov, and Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. So what's the Gemara tell us, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe? Torah, Bigamatria, Shismeya v'chad sarihave. What's the Gematria of Torah? 611. Tov and Reish is 600, Vav and Hei is 611. Anoichi v'lo yielecha, the first two dibros, believing in God and not believing in other. Mipi agvura shamanum. Those, in other words, Torah, 611, Tziva lanu Moshe. Moshe commanded us 611 mitzvos. We know there's 613 mitzvahs in Torah. So the Gemara tells us, based on the Gematria of Torah, Tziva lanu Moshe, that if Moshe taught us 611, who taught us the other two? The first two? The Rabbeinu Shalom b'chvoid v'atzmo. That Anochi, to believe in God and not to believe in other gods. To believe that Hashem created the world, that Hashem created us, that Hashem gave us the Torah, that Hashem orchestrates everything that happens every moment, that everything that's happening in our life is the Rabbeinu Shalom. That we heard from Him Himself. And by the way, all of us were there. Even if our guf wasn't there, our neshama was there. To pasuk in Parashat Nitzavim, V'esasher yeshnam po omeid imanu hayom, those that are physically are standing, V'esasher inenu po, and those that are not here yet, us, are still imanu hayom. It doesn't say omeid, because we weren't physically standing. But we were spiritually there, our neshama was there. And we heard this from Hashem Himself. Famous Tosfos on top of Shabbos, Peches, tells us, based on Chazal, that we literally, it was so powerful, we fainted. We fainted after the first Dibros, and Hashem did Tchias HaMesim on us. After Anochi. We fainted again, Lo Yih, Hashem did Tchias HaMesim. And that's Moshe took over. For the rest, the other 611 mitzvahs. But we have to understand this, that tells us something. Because in all honesty, we have to keep every mitzvah. The Mishnah Rava tells us, Havei Zor mitzvah kala b'kach gemura. We have to be careful about every little mitzvah. It's not for us to pick and choose. Every mitzvah is important. Every mitzvah is perfecting our lives. It's helping us get close to Hashem. Every one. Shatnez, learning Torah, tefillah, tzitzis, you name it. Every one. But there's clearly something to these two that's most important. That we had to hear them from God Himself. Anochi and Lo'iyah, which are the foundations of Amuna, belief in Hashem. And belief in Hashem, again, not just belief in Hashem, who created the world, but belief in Hashem that's by my side every moment. Belief by Hashem that's orchestrating everything that happens. I'm a different person when I have that belief in Hashem. I want to read you, I'll tell you, I saw this, I just chanced upon this earlier today, and I couldn't find it in its source in Hebrew. It's an English translation, but I did research on the person. It seems like it's authentic and MS. I don't usually like reading over an English translation, but I didn't have the time. I looked a little bit, but couldn't find where in the Sefer it is. It's an Oras HaAmuna by Rav Kook. But it had the page, but the page that he put down was not the page that in the copy that I saw. It wasn't that page. So to find where it is in the Sefer is extremely difficult that way. And I tried to look. I couldn't find it. But I'm going to read you this translation because it's so beautiful about Amunah, about what Amunah is in our lives. Foundation of everything. To believe Hashem runs the world. Hashem is by our side. Hashem is with us every moment. And we heard that from Hashem himself. Faith is the song of the upper world. Its source is the divine nature within the depth of the soul. I mean, it's a song of the world. It's such a beautiful line. The source of the divine nature within the depth of the soul. Meaning, the source is within each and every one of us, right? That's like the Baal Tanya that tells us our neshama, our soul is chelek elokami mamam, which is part and parcel of God. So we have a munah within us. That's what Rav Kook is telling us. The pleasure of the inner gaze that comes from an infinite gladness. Because simultaneous with having a munah is I'm always going to be besimcha. Because I always know Hashem is running the world. Why is someone sad? Because you think there's some chisaron in your life. There's something missing in your life. I'm sad because I don't have this. I'm sad because this happened. I'm sad. But if you realize and recognize that's all Hashem and that means it's all best for you, I'm always going to be happy. There's no greater key to happiness than emunah. But listen to where he goes with it. Because, again, there are another 611 mitzvahs. These are the first two. It says, the finite expression of Torah is built upon the outcome of this holy supernatural song and its actualized limitation. Meaning you have first this limitless emunah, but you have to then create a finite picture of limit within concrete halacha. Those who are filled with the splendor of song suffer at times because of the limited aspect of actual life and its boundaries. You really, emunah should be so boundless. I should just want to be one with Hashem every moment, not bound by anything in this world. Nevertheless, they accept the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. They know that the world rests on measurement, that the light of song must be clarified in finite utensils. We understand that we're still finite, we're physical. We need to take that emunah and put it into our action, and put it into our everyday lives, into the 611 other mitzvahs. They accept this with love and draw the light of love and song into measure and rule. By means of this patience, they rise and the world rises with them. What beautiful words from Rav Kook. If I found the Hebrew, I probably would not have understood it anyway, so it's fine. I'll be honest. I'll tell you. I mean, probably the Sefer that I've had the most trouble learning are the words of Rav Kook. His Hebrew is something that's often poetic in a very modern Hebrew, and it's for me personally, it's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. But such beautiful words. Such beautiful words. So emunah is the foundation of our life. Emunah is the foundation of the world. And therefore emunah, we had to hear from Hashem himself. But it's not just emunah is the foundation that keeps us going and gives us inspiration and allows us to find happiness even in the darkest of places. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh teaches us something else in this week's parasha. And he says, these two we know were from Hashem. Listen to the words of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Powerful words. Perchav Pasuk Aleph, if you want to look inside. V'risi l'seis tov tam bashmos Hashem l'Yisrael. He's going to give a good reason. Why was it so necessary that Hashem himself allowed us to hear his voice for Anoichi and Lo Yiyah? Beis dibros Anoichi v'lo yiyah lecha, ki em beis shurashim l'beis klolos ha-mitzvos. Mitzvahs Aseh and Mitzvahs Los Aseh. These are the two Shurashim. These are the roots. These are the foundation of all other mitzvahs. There are Ramach, 248 positive mitzvahs. Shesah, 365 negative mitzvahs. And within Anoichim Loyia, you could find all of those. They are the root of them all. The makeup of every other mitzvah, of every positive mitzvah is in Anochi, and the makeup of every negative mitzvah is in Loyia. Anochi hu ikr v'shorish kol mitzvahs asei, lo yilcha hi ikr v'shorish kol mitzvahs los asei. L'zen not Hashem behem, Hashem planted within them, mipi elyon, shorashe beiz ikri ha-mitzvah, the roots of all other mitzvahs. And listen to this line at the end, which we're going to have to come back to. Shebezeh, through this, lo timosh Torah mizareinu le'oilam va'ed. Which seems to be out of place, and what is that doing here? The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, he tells us, Anochi Eliyah, we heard from God, and these are the klal, these are the foundations of all their mitzvahs. And by the way, because of this, We'll never forget Torah. It's always going to be part of us. What's that mean? Where does that come from? We have to understand this. By the way, the Degel Machan Ephraim, the Talmud, Hilge Degel Machan Ephraim, so he tells us that's what it means when we say in the Gemara in Yuma Daf Chav Ches that Avram Avinu kept all the mitzvos. How could Avram have kept all the mitzvos? People ask, how's that possible? The Torah wasn't given yet. He wasn't commanded in Ichvesnes, in Shatnez, and in Shabbos, and in Kashrus. He was never told. How did Avram glean it? Where did he get it from? But now we can understand it. Because he understood that he has to believe in God. We all know famously, right? He looked around at the world and he saw that there had to be a Rabbon Hashem that created all this. If there's a creation, there had to be a creator. He believed in God. He knew there was a Rabbon Hashem. He knew there's Hashem who runs the world, who runs my life. Amunah and Anoich Eliyah, he came to on his own. That we could understand. Because any thinking individual, any logical person should. Anyone who doesn't, it's just their taiva is getting the best of them. It's just their temptation getting the best of them. Ayin and Reed, if you haven't read it yet, it's Kedai. Rav Elchanan Wasserman's Mamar and Amunah is a must read, who explains how Amunah is the most pashut thing in the world. Just look around. When you're lacking in Amunah, it's because you're just a Baal Taiva who wants to do what you want to do, so you want to give in to your temptation. So because if I believe in God, it means I'm bound to follow God, who knows better than I what's best for me. So Avraham Avinu came to Anoichi Eliyah on his own. But now we see from the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, and by the way, the Tanya and Perachov says this as well, and others, that Anoichi Eliyah are the foundation, or the chemical makeup of all other mitzvahs. So if you truly can tap in and connect to Anoichi Eliyah, you're going to come to all the other mitzvahs always. Also, because they're just part and parcel of that. They're an outbreak of that. And it's everything, right? If you stop and think about it for a moment. So we put on tefillin in the morning. It's a halavai, we should all be zoicha, to understand the depth in tefillin. And maybe some of us do on some level, to take the parshas of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that Hashem, and want it to be part of our heart and part of our mind. And there's certain things we could connect to and understand. It's Kli Yoker at the end of last week's parasha and tefillin, it's kedai to learn through. But Lamaisa, what do we? Why am I really ultimately, even if I don't understand anything about tefillin, all that is black boxes and straps that I'm putting in my arms and my head. But you know what I do know? I'm doing it because Hashem told me to. So it's linked to Amunah. It's mamish connected to Amunah. Why? It might be a chok, it might be a law that makes no sense. So I don't know why I don't wear wool and linen together. But you know what I know? God told me to. So when I do this, it's a symbolism. It's an active way of me showing my Amunah in Hashem, my belief in Hashem. Everything is. What's pshat in this end? Shebezeh lo Torah, lo timosh Torah mizareinu loved. That through this Anoich Eliyah, we're never going to forget Torah. It's always going to be part and parcel of us. So listen, I want to share an incredible Kedushas Levi. I don't know how I never was privy to this Kedushas Levi till this year. Because there's a piece in Tanya, in Yud Ches, that asks the following question, and he has his own derech. I'm not going to get into right now for the sake of time. Because he wants to understand the following thing. He says, Klal Yisrael is known, part of our chemical makeup in a certain sense. That's actually what he goes with, that it is actually part of our chemical makeup. That even the most simple Jews, who might be involved in Kol Averos Tachas HaShemesh, who might not daven, and might not learn, and might give in to their temptations, and forget about Shmir Senayim, but would come suddenly to be put in a predicament, where it's either, you know, Chvesnesh, serve Avoy Dezara, give up your life, will be Moiser Nefesh Rasham in a moment. Simple tailors, simple Jews will give up their lives for God in a moment. They would never be brought to be Kaifer Be'ikr, would never be brought to serve an idol. How's that possible? Why? The same Jew that in a moment would do most other Averas. Even perhaps breaking Shabbos. But that, no. What's Pshat? Baal Tanya has his own derech, which you could link together with this Kedushas Levi, but listen to the Kedushas Levi. Listen to the words of Kedushas Levi in this week's parasha. Listen to the Kedushas Levi. He says, it's towards the end. Ki labavur nasos eschem ba'alokim. Pashut Pshat means Hashem came and to promote Yiddishkeit, that we're being a flag, that the Yidden are going to be basically a symbolism of Kiddush Hashem. But listen to what the Kiddush Levi says. Pirish. Kizeh she'omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo anochi v'lo yiyeh lecha. This idea that God Himself commanded us, and we heard it from Him, to believe in God and not to believe in other gods. Listen to what he says. Listen to the words of the Kiddush Levi, the Berditchever. Zchuso yagin aleinu. Nirsham v'nechkach b'lev kol ish Yisrael. It became etched and became part of every single Jew, every one of us, basically, because we heard it from God Himself, to believe in God, not believe in other gods. We have it etched in our heart, this lesson. It's there. It's in us. Ad shafilu akal shebekalim, until even the most simple of Jews, Moiser Nafshal Kiddush Shmo Yisbaruch, will be willing to Moiser Nefesh or Kiddush Hashem. V'zeh, that's how he learns, L'ba'avur Nasos, Shetamo B'nisayon, that all of the Anoichi L'Yiyah, that's our Dibros that was given over, and those two specifically from Hashem, was that we would pass this Nisayon. Meaning a Jew has it part and parcel of him to believe in God and not to believe in other gods. And to know that Hashem runs the world, and to know that Hashem is by my side, and to know that Hashem is my Father in heaven. You hear this, Chevra? This is what the Medrash and Shir Hashirim. The Medrash and Shir Hashirim. It says a similar idea. But basically, I'm not going to read through the whole Medrash right now, but it's a longer medrash, but medrash says in Shir Hashirim Aleph Tesvav that Anoichi Hashem Alekecha Nitzka Talmud Torah Believe Me Olamedim Lo Yom Yishakchem. Because we heard it from Hashem, we would never forget these words. And then the rest we heard from Moshe, so we will forget them until Mashiach comes, and we won't forget anything. But that means what we hear from Hashem, we never forget. What we hear from Hashem is etched in our heart. What we hear from Hashem is here to stay and will never be lost. And now we understand the words of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Aruch Chaim HaKadosh said, these two dibros, Anoichi and Lo Yiyeh, are what? Are the foundation of everything because we heard them from Hashem. And then he ends. Lo Tamish Torah means Arein Elon Vad. He doesn't explain. And therefore we'll never forget this Torah. What does that mean? Because of what the Berditcher is saying. We heard it from God. If you hear something from Hashem, you're never going to forget it. And we all heard it from Hashem. We have this relationship with Hashem. We believe in Hashem. Problem is sometimes we forget. Deep down, when we're pushed in that moment to say, believe in God or give your life, you'll give your life. Even the most simple of Jews. And it's been proven time and time again. But in the moment, we forget. What I mean in the moment. Not the moments like those big moments. The Heilig Bnei Yisrael, Nigud Dekala, in Parshas Vayetzeh, he basically says the same thing as this Kedushas Levi. I'm not going to read through the whole piece now. But then he explains, based on this Berditchever, another idea. He says as follows. Listen to these words. Yavin ki kol ha-Torah kul nechlelos bezeh. Shebesiyas haseh mekabel ovel kuso kedushaso. Backwards it works as well, he's saying. Every time I do a mitzvah, it's a testament that I believe in God. Every time I put in tefillin, I'm saying I believe in God. Every time I keep Shabbos, I believe in God. Every time I make a bracha, I'm saying I believe in God. Every time I ensure and I go shopping and I check that it shouldn't be wool and linen and I have a shopping check, I believe in God. It's a testament to believing in God. Kasher yaver alav. Well, I'm sorry, wait. Let's get. Lo aleinu, kasher yaver alav. And therefore, if a person does an Aveira, God forbid, who ka oliveh avodah zarah. Listen to this, it's very intense words, but we'll get understand them. If a person does an Aveira, if a person doesn't keep Shabbos, a person doesn't make a bracha, a person doesn't put on tefillin, a person, God is nichshal, stumbling in his shmir senayim, it's like you're oliveh avodah zarah. Meaning, because if you understand and you actually believe that every mitzvah, positive mitzvah, is part and parcel of anochi, and every negative mitzvah is part and parcel of anochim, if you're nichshav, you stumble in this negative commandment, you're really stumbling in what? In other words, you're serving avodah zarah. You're not believing at this moment God is watching me. You're not believing in this moment that God wants me and is on top of me. Now we understand that famous Gemara in Sota, that a person doesn't sin unless there's a Ruach Shtos. Ruach Shtos means like, what's a good English translation? Ruach Shtos. It's Ruach Shtos, you know? Certain things he can't be translated. Ruach Shtos. Because for these moments you thought, that it's like, lo yilcha doesn't apply. Because lo yilcha you'd never be over. So it must be a ruach shtus if you do this avera because it comes from la'yelcha. Ki ilu hayu misbonein zos bevadei lo hay over. If you really thought about this and knew that this avera is connected to la'yel, you'd never be doing it because we already said you would never do something that shows I don't believe in God. We all believe in God because we heard that from God. Ki al la'yelcha lo yaver ben yisrael. What an incredible yisod! What a machshava from the heilige bnei Yisachar. If we thought about this and we started realizing, now we understand more and more, Chevra. More and more we're understanding how Emuna is the foundation of everything. Yes, it's the foundation of my happiness and the foundation of living every moment without troubles and without worries. So many people are so worried about every little thing in this world. Worried about Parnassa and worried about Shiduchim and worried about what am I going to do next year and worried. Where do all those daigas, you know what daigas is? Daigas is lack of emunah. I really believe Hashem is by my side. Hashem is orchestrating everything. It's all going to be good. Okay, I might have to figure out and make decisions, but it's going to be good because Hashem is with me. But it's much more than that. Emunah is the foundation of all of our avodas Hashem. And if I really thought about it, if I truly, deeply had all the emunah in the world, I'd be an incredible Jew. I'd serve Him day and night in the best of ways. Anytime I'm stumbling in my avodas Hashem, it's some level of lacking of emunah. It's deep, it's hard to swallow. Not everyone could swallow this Torah. But some things have to be said. One more idea. You know what, before that, we lost many tzaddikim. It was a very difficult week for Klal Yisrael. And the only reason we're fine is because we have emunah. By the way, you don't have emunah? Right now we should all be sitting on the floor crying, tearing kriya right now. If we understood that we lost, who we lost this week, Rav David Salveitchik, Zeches Adakal Shavracha, Rav Shiva Brisk, the last son of the Brisker Rav, if you understood who that was, Gadol Hadar, we should be on the floor crying right now. We're still in the days of Shiva. Why are we sitting here and okay? Rav Yitzchak Shiner, Zeches Adakal Shavracha, Rav Shiva Kamenetz, an American-grown Gadol Hadar, one of the few last American-grown Gadol Hadars in such a way. Alvai, we'll be the next. We have to desire because we need. If we understood who we lost this week, we should be. Why are we okay? Because we have a moon, a Baruch Dynamis, Hashem runs the world. And we miss them, and we wish they were here, and we understand the loss, but simultaneously we know Hashem has His reasoning, and it's all going to be good, right? So we could say Baruch Dynamis and move on, and be okay, as we mourn. But I'll tell Emes, those two tzaddikim, who I knew of, and None of us here, collectively, we're not a tipa b'yam in who they were. On a personal level, that's true. On a personal level, I didn't have interaction with them. I heard her, Shiner, speak a few times. I was very moved. He was incredible. He was 90, whatever, and young as could be. You heard him speak. It was mamish. It was like fire in such a beautiful way. It was good. You could hear him. He spoke in English. It was very special. But there was a third tzaddik this week that was nifter that I never met in my life, but impacted my life greatly and continues to impact my life greatly. I should call him one of my rabbeim. That was Rabbi Dr. Avram Twersky, Zecher Tzadik HaShvracha. So Meir's brother had the schus to have a close kesher with him. Along with many others, I have talmidim that he saved their lives. It's that simple. I have talmidim that he saved their lives. One Talmud, I'll never forget the conversations he had with Rav Twersky, was one of a kind. That's for sure. If you had a gadol hadar in holding in Torah from such a dynasty that he was, and lived it, but simultaneously was a bucky in medicine and as a psychiatrist, and in addiction was the bucky in the whole world, non-Jewish and non-Jewish world alike, but who got this world and understood this world and was down to earth as could be. I can't repeat the things he would say to people, because I wouldn't say. You have to be on a level, you have to have shoulders like him to be able to say what he said. But he had a koyach to turn people around with those statements. Now, I never met him. I never had the schus to meet him. It was a big mistake that I never made sure to meet him, to be honest. I don't know why I didn't. I made a mistake. Got to grab onto that when people are still in this world and spend time with them, big people. I regret that I never went to meet him and spend time with him. I know people that were close to him. I probably could have pulled it off, but I just never did. But I was impacted greatly from him, from his svarim, from his, I don't want to call books, svarim. He wrote like 90 svarim. And I can't say I read all of them, but I read many of them. Let Us Make Man is the best sefer I've ever read on self-esteem, by far. If you know anyone who needs chizik and just self-esteem and just happiness, Let Us Make Man is a gem, shib gems. When I read a lot of his other psalm, I always found they were like a pirish of Let Us Make Man. Like, it was just, you have the source, and you have hundreds of psalms today that are just a pirish of Mesil Shasharim, right? Like, so just go back to source, you can learn Mesil Shasharim. Now, he has a beautiful, but that also I learned through. He has a beautiful pirish of Mesil Shasharim, lights along the way. He does. It's beautiful. This is awesome to read if anyone wants his biography. Gvura. This happened to last week while he was still alive. I was in Capital Svarim in Lakewood, and I just saw this on the shelf and I never read it, and it's a Rav Twersky book, Do Unto Others, and it was $6. So I said, how could I not buy it? And I was reading through it this week. I'm about three quarters finished when the tzaddik was nifter. I'll finish it during the shiva. And it's an incredible book. And Mamish, like, just his depth in understanding what's beautiful to find somebody who understands people and understands this world, but has the synthesis with an understanding of Torah and God. There are few that ever graced this earth like this. It was a huge loss for Klal Yisrael. Let me just read you something that I remember. Now, this is a famous story. You might have heard it from other tzaddikim in other ways before as well. Rav Twersky used to tell over a lot of stories of tzaddikim that he heard from his father, from his grandfather, from all the tzaddikim, the horn type, all the big tzaddikim, right? What? Yeah, father. So this is one of those stories, but it's an incredible one. So this biography, Gvura, that he wrote when he turned 80 on page 73. And it's really everything we're talking about here tonight so far. As a disciple of the great Maggid of Mezrich, the Alter Rebbe had a question for which he sought the Maggid's elucidation. He knocked on the Maggid's door, right? This is the Baal HaTanya going to the Maggid of Mezrich. Imagine, just imagine that scene. Like, stop for a moment. Imagine the Baal HaTanya going to the Magid. Like, who are we? Wow. Anyways. He knocked on the Magid's door, and when the Magid asked who was there, the Alter Rebbe said, "It is I." The Magid recognized the Alter Rebbe's voice and said, "Come in, Zalmanu." After the Magid answered his question, he said to him, "For Gesunterheit, traveling good, blessing." The Alter Rebbe had no idea why he was being told to leave. But as much as the Magid had told him to go, he took his towels and tefillin and set out in the north. Like, he thought he's staying with the Magid for a little bit, right? In Anapoli. With no idea where he was going or why. He didn't even know where he was going. He didn't know why he was going. But the Magid tells you to go. Gesundheit means you go. As he passed an isolated house in the countryside, he heard someone shout, Rabbi Yid, come here. The man said to him, "You must be Elijah the prophet to appear just now. We're going to have a bris here. We're only 9 people. We need a 10th for a minyan." The Alter Rebbe complied with the request and joined the group. Now he understood where the Magid was sending him. Or did he? After the bris, a festive meal was served, and the Alter Rebbe was invited to participate. When the meal was over, the hostess counted the silverware, and a silver spoon was missing. They immediately suspected the stranger was a thief, and they said to the Alter Rebbe, they didn't know these Baal Tanis, "We are indebted to you for making a minyan for us, but that does not justify your stealing a spoon. If you are in need of money, we'll give you some, but you must return the silver spoon." "I did not take any silver spoon," the Alter Rebbe said. "Of course you did," they said to him. "We know all the people here, and they all are our friends, whom we know to be honest. It could only be you." "No," the Alter Rebbe said. "It was not I. It was not I." The people began to be rough with him. "Yes, it was you," they said. Not I, the Alter Rebbe protested. At that point, they began beating him, saying it was you. And the Alter Rebbe repeatedly pleaded, not I. The beatings were so merciless that one of the hired kitchen workers could not bear to see an innocent person beaten any longer. And she admitted that she had taken the silver spoon. The people apologized to Alter Rebbe, who promptly forgave them. The Alter Rebbe then reasoned, "For some reason I deserved being beaten. This was certainly the Magid's reason for telling me to leave. Now that I received my punishment, I may return." When the Alter Rebbe returned, he was greeted by the Magid, who said to him, "Zalman, how many times did you have to say, not I? You see, Zalman, when you knocked on my door, you said, it is I. No human being says, it is I. Only Hashem may say, as he does in this week's parasha, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God. A person should efface oneself and not think of himself as I. So for the single time you said, it is I, you have to compensate by repeatedly saying, not I." What was he saying? What was he being taught by the Magid? That we have to be completely mevatel Hashem. There's no I. There's only Rabbi Shalom. I only exist because of God. I'm only here because I have a chilek l'kavim ha'mamash in me. I have a piece of God in me, and that is the ultimate emunah. And when I live emunah in such a way, every single moment of my life is different. And the way that I serve Hashem, the way that I connect to Hashem. And that's how we have to live our lives. Not I, just Rabbi Nishalom. My davening is different. My life is different. The way I think of the world is different. My Shabbos is different. Shmir said, "Naim, it's no longer a battle. It's not I." What is the lacking? We're in Shavuot. We have one more full week of Shavuot. What is the whole idea of looking at these images of women or whatever we're looking at, which are mamish, the lowest of low? What is that whole idea? I want excitement. I want pleasure. You know what that is? It's all I. It's the most selfish act one could be involved in. You're not involved with anybody else. It's only you. It's all about I. But when I'm mevatel the I, it's only Rabbono Shel Olam. It's not I. So I no longer even, this is not even part of, it's not even part of my cheshbon. As we spoke the other week, I'm above it. I'm above it. And Torah mitzvah just flows. I want to have anochim liyah. Of course Torah mitzvah. That's my whole essence. That's everything that I am. I'm living for others. I'm living for Rabbono Shel Olam. That's it. There is no I. Anochim liyah. Now we can understand something else as well. Listen closely, Chevra. A deep Torah from my Rebbe Amori, the Filipinchos Shlita. There's a Gemara Nida, famous Gemara Nida. We've spoken about this before, but we're going to take it to another degree now. The Gemara Nidin says, "Lost love when we're zochah the Mashiach, the mitzvos will be mevatel. We'll have no mitzvos." Crazy Gemara. What's pshat? So we once gave this over from the Yaris Dvash, from Yonis Naipshitz. What does he explain? He explains something. Maybe some of you might remember that generally say gadol mitzvah v'oisa misheina mitzvah v'oisa. It's better to do mitzvahs that we're commanded to do than mitzvahs we weren't commanded to do. Why is it better to do mitzvahs we're commanded to do than mitzvahs we were not commanded to do? So this is also in the schus of Tversky Zatzal. I want to read you from this new sefer that I picked up in Capital Svarim, and he explains it very beautifully. Listen closely, very beautiful. Why is it better? You'd think you could argue the opposite, right? You could argue it's better a mitzvah that it comes from me. I decide I want to do it. It shows love. It shows passion. Because I'm doing it because I'm commanded. That might not come from my heart. Why is it better to do a mitzvah that is commanded? God, the mitzvah voice. So he says, a beggar sat at the wall of the city. When a scholar walked past, he placed two alms in the beggar's box and walked on. A few minutes later, the same scholar returned and again placed two alms in the beggar's box. Why are you giving me twice? He asked. The scholar said, listen to this line, so deep. Because the first time I gave it for me, now I give them for you. First time I gave it for me, now I give it for you. I mean, the first time I did it because I'm obligated to do it. So it's for me. Second time I did it because I have compassion for you. The issue of which is superior, being driven to give out of emotion versus out of obligation, is an important point for those of us in the business of religion. Jews, as an example, are instructed by the Talmud that the reward for performing an act of kindness when commanded is higher than if one acts from the heart. Psychologically, the masters believed that since one had to overcome resistance to follow a command, she or he should receive greater recognition, at least by God. Right? That's famous Ritva. The famous Ritva in Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph. Beautiful speech. Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph, the Ritva says, it's because you have a Yetzirah that pushes you against the mitzvahs that we're commanded to do, and we have to resist that Yetzirah and push against that, so it's greater. That's what he's talking about. Humans are creatures of habit. The more we repeat certain acts, the more they become integrated into our personalities. If you find you have difficulty in doing something desirable, you need to practice it but a few times to overcome the resistance. We may feel some resistance if we're called upon to extend ourselves for others, since this may be an imposition of our comfort. Therefore, wise to volunteer our efforts. And as we develop a habit of doing things for others, it will be only natural to respond to a request or even a command to help. Rav Tversky telling us, okay, there's a lot of depth in that one page of Rav Tversky. I'm not going to get into all of it right now for the sake of time, but he's teaching us that ultimately, gadol mitzvah v'osa, because we have to defeat the Yetzirah, defeat that resistance, so it's harder. What does the Gemara in Sukkah tell us very famously? Daf Nun Beis, that when Mashiach comes, what's going to happen to our Yetzirah? We'll be destroyed, be shechted, Gdalis, right? Be shechted. So there's no longer resistance. So now, we don't need commandments of mitzvah, so of gadol mitzvah v'osa. Now gadol ena mitzvos. That's one idea of what it means. Mitzvos will be mevatel. What do you mean mitzvos will be mevatel? Of course we're going to do mitzvos. But they don't need to be commanded anymore to be greater because we don't have to defeat the Yetzer Hara anymore. That's one direction. That's Rav Yonis and Eibshitz. Philip Pinchas suggests something else. He says in Bereishis, before the chait of Eitz Hadas, which was before there was the Yetzer Hara, before there was the Yetzirah, and before there were therefore a need for commandments, like we just explained, Adam was commanded La'avdo u'lishamra Perek Beis Pasuk Tesvav Vayikach Hashem Elokim Es Adam Vayinicheu B'Gan Eden. He put him in Gan Eden, which we'll get back to. He put him in Gan Eden La'avdo u'lishamra, and the Zohar says La'avdo u'lishamra to keep the positive and negative mitzvos. La'avdo to serve him in the positive mitzvos. L'shamra shamra is always shamra v'zachar. Shamra is the negative mitzvos. This week's parsha. I am the Ramban on this week's parsha on Shomer Shom Shabbos Akadu, Zocher Shom Zocher and Shomer Shmi Shomer and Eschan and Yisrael. I am Shomer and Zocher, but Shomer. You know what I'm saying?
La'avdil shomer, the positive and negative mitzvahs. Was Adam HaRishon given the positive and negative mitzvahs yet? Some say it's talking about eating from the fruits and not eating from the mitzvahs, but that's the next pasuk. That didn't happen yet. You know what the Shvilei Pinchas suggests? The same way Avram came to Amunah, so too Adam came to Amunah. How could he not? He looks around at the world of Gan Eden and Hashem is present everywhere. You know what he's talking about? Avdil Shamra? The two, Anoichi and Lohiya. Back to Anoichi and Lohiya. Those two you come to on your own. Meaning those two were even before the Chait. Those two are the mitzvos that are the root of everything else. You don't need any of the other mitzvos when you have that because everything else will stem from that. It's all you need. Maybe that's also what's going to be Mashiach. We're going to get back to basics. You know what I mean? The mitzvahs of the Mevatel. I don't need the commandments of the mitzvahs because I'm going to be back to Adam Rishon Kol Mechait and La'av the La'ash Amra, and my amun is going to be so strong. Everything else will just flow from it. That's the avodah of each and every one of us. That's the avodah we're going to get to. Chaver, listen to this. Get back to the Igud Dekala for a second. In Parshas Vayetze, the pasuk says, "Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso." Yaakov woke up from his sleep, and what does he say after he had the image with the ladder with the malachim going up and down? "Achein Yesh Hashem b'makom azev anoichi lo yadati." Pashup shat, God was in this place and I didn't know. But listen now, the Igur the Kalav and Yisachar learns. Yaakov Vinu had that dream on Harabayas, and he was like, it was like Adam Rishon Kol Mechait. He was such a revelation of Hashem. He had such a connection to Hashem. So he said, "Achein Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh." Now I know this Hashem is in this makom. Hashem is by my side. "V'anochi, and Anochi Hashem l'kecha, and lo, lo yeh l'cha Elohim acherim." Yadati, I know that now. "Anochi and lo yeh yadati, I know that now." What a read. What a read. And that's our avoidah. Our avoidah, each and every one of us, is to get to a level of amuna where all that I know is anoichi lo yeh. I don't need anything else. Everything else will stem. Of course I'm going to keep every other mitzvah. Because Hashem is by my side every moment. There's a Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Ches, that says, Hashem, listen to this, Mamish. This is Mamish, only Shmuel Pinchas says things like this. You ready? Crazy Gemara. I don't even have the Gemara out here. Because if I brought out the Megillah, we'd get too crazy, too excited for Purim already. For another time, I didn't even bring out the Gemara. But Lamaisa, the Gemara in Megillah Yud Ches says that Hashem called Yaakov Kel. Kel is one of the names of God, right? How could it be that Hashem is going to call Yaakov by one of his names? By the name of God. Okay, Yaakov was Tiferes, Yaakov was great, Yaakov is a tzaddik, we're B'nai Yisrael, but by the name of God, he's going to call him Kel? Zak Rebbe Amari Dishvila Pinchas. Achein Yesh Hashem B'kepenu. Yesh Hashem B'kepeni. Anoichi lo yadati. He came to understand Anoichi lo. He came to understanding of the deepest amuna, Yaakov, which is the amuna we need. You know why he called him Kel? Kel is Rashi Tevos, Anoichi and Lohiyah. Anoichi Lohiyah, you encompassed Anoichi Lohiyah, you're Kel. You're one with me. And that's our Avodah Chevra. There's nothing more important for us to work on than our Amunah b'Hashem, our belief in Hashem, our knowledge in, that Hashem is by my side, that Hashem created everything, that Hashem is orchestrating everything, Hashem is with us always. And we'll see that everything else will stem from that. Those are the only two that Hashem had to tell each and every one of us. So those are the two that have to work on most. And it's criminal that we don't spend more time building our amunah. I'm still crying from... And the truth is probably... In this past summer... So for the summer, Chaver knows, I'm the Rav in a particular girls' camp. And this is not Chas V'Shalom. I want you to hear this. This is not on any level. The camp's a beautiful, wonderful camp, and this is, what I'm about to say is not a knock on the camp. It's a knock on every yeshiva, let's be honest. Sadly. And it was one Shabbos Kodesh, and I was talking to all the girls, probably from about 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th grade. It was a big chevra, probably four ages.
And I decided what more important to talk about than Amunah. Then I stopped for a minute at some point and I asked the girls, tell me something. This was a couple hundred girls probably. And they said, tell me something. Do any of you, in any of your schools, and these are girls from all over the country, all over the world. So do any of you, in all of your schools, have a class in Amunah? Do you learn? Meaning, I'm sure I know a teacher talks once in a while, but then a set class, because I know you have Chumash and Navi and Yedias Klalios and I don't know, you know, you have your classes, Ivrit, Jewish history. Do any of you have a class in Amunah? Any of and you know what? I stopped before they'd answer. I said, it doesn't have to be every day. Do you even have once a week? A special, maybe a elective in Amunah to work on and build our Amunah in Hashem. To any of you. There's a couple hundred girls. One girl raised her hand. One girl raised her hand. So I was impressed by this one girl. I said, wow, wonderful. Of course, she was from Eretz Yisrael. She was from Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. But how sad is that? I mean, hopefully we all have some levels of Amunah. But if this is the foundation of all foundations, if this is Kol Kol HaMitzvos, obviously the stronger our Amunah is, the happier we're going to be, the bigger of a Ben Torah and Bat Torah we're going to be, the better we're going to serve Hashem in every mitzvah. How do we not want to work on this? And now, Baruch Hashem, they're coming out. The books are coming out. Tzvarim are coming out. There's stuff. Do we work on this? Do we improve upon this? Yes, I know. We have. But do we have enough and can we grow more in our Amunah? That's where we're zoicha to all the simcha and bracha in the world. Adam Rishon Gan Eden, we said, that's all he was commanded in Amunah. La'avdil Shamra's Amunah. Each and every one wants to get back to Gan Eden. If you take the gematria of Amunah and Bitachon together, Amunah and Bitachon together is gematria 171, exactly gematria Gan Eden. Exactly, Kamachik Anit. So, Bez Hashem is Baruch, we should all be Zaycha. As we'll stand there this Shabbos, Kodesh and Shul, and be Makabal Torah again. Pay attention. When you hear Anoichi Lo'iyah, you're hearing the Rabbi Nishalom Anoichi Lo'iyah. And Vada, we have to keep all of the Torah mitzvahs, and all of the Asar Sadibras, and Losisa, Hashem Elkech Lashav, and Kivar of Aim, and Shabbos, and Losirtzach, and Losinov, and Losignov, and Losana, and Losachman, and all of them. But Anoichi and Lo'iyah, our Amunah, is what we need to work on more than anything else. Amunah is Yusayt Yubisaydus. Without Amunah, just like Chazal say, it was Bimunah, we had the Gula, it was through Amunah. So it will be the Gula, Asadlavo, through our Amunah, to Bezoicha, to a world of Gan Eden, with that Amunah, B'tachon, Gematria Gan Eden, with Mashiach, Zekeinu, Ben Hera, B'Yameinu.